And initially, what medicine has always taught us is that women are only different in their reproductive organs. And that's what medicine has always said. And so everything female focuses on their reproductive organs without remembering that there's estrogen receptors throughout the body. And estrogen plays a role everywhere. And so women are different actually, cellular tissue level. And I think that it's important to acknowledge this because when we look at the prevalence of certain conditions, especially constipation, migraines, anxiety, insomnia, women are always, sometimes double or three times as more likely to have these conditions than men. And the reason isn't because we're women, it's because we're not being treated as women.
Welcome to Functional Medicine Coaching Moms Podcast, where simplifying healthy lifestyle change for moms is the only goal.
Hi, everyone. We are thrilled to chat with Jessica Spain Levy, otherwise known as Nomi. She is a board-certified nutritionist and health coach, as well as a married mother of four boys. Jessica is also the head nutritionist at Digest Live by Organza, a company that focuses on female-specific herbal treatments developed under a team of doctors and researchers.
This episode is for you if you've struggled with constipation, and I have to put myself in this category. I've struggled with this on and off since my 20s, and functional medicine has helped, but I'm still very prone to this problem, so I can't wait to hear what Jessica has to say today. And we have a second guest today, Taya Helene, who is a young mom of two kids, and she's going to share her personal struggle with constipation. And we're very appreciative of that today.
We met Jessica at the Institute for Functional Medicine Annual International Conference in Orlando, Florida earlier this year. And we're so intrigued by her approach to helping women with constipation. She shared with us how her company is looking at it from a female point of view and how hormones play a role. Very interesting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
It is so great to have you on today. And this is a topic that's not discussed because it can be a little embarrassing, or like you just start to learn to live with your constipation. I know that was the case for me, that I just started to think that it was normal. So we thought today, Jessica, that we'd hear from you first to share a little bit about why women's reasons for constipation could be different from a man's, because we've never really heard of this before. So if you could share a little bit, that would be amazing.
So I love talking about this topic. First of all, it normalizes it for everybody. When we look at the statistics, we see that somewhere between 20 to 30% of women deal with constipation. And why is it different than a man's? Well, first of all, we have different anatomy. Like, that's just the most basic thing. We've got a uterus. We've got some stuff going on inside. Our colon is actually about 8 centimeters longer, which means that it will take longer for things to digest. Just wow. Longer to go from mouth to exit zone. So the anatomical differences. But I think the most interesting differences that to me are the glaring overriding difference that it doesn't even make sense that it's taken us till 2023 to talk about it is the fact that women have different hormones than men. And we know that there's estrogen receptors within the tissues that line the gut, and estrogen and progesterone both play a role in constipation. So one of the things when my company, when we look at the research, because we deal with a number of female conditions, and our first product is Digest Live and really dealing with constipation, and it comes from our CEO's personal struggles trying to find a solution for herself. But the interesting thing is that when you look at what we call female-specific medicine, or gender-specific medicine, as the term from Marianne Legato, who's a doctor who first coined this term, it's really the idea that we have to reject what we call the bikini view of women. And initially, what medicine has always taught us is that women are only different in their reproductive organs. And that's what medicine has always said. And so everything female focuses on their reproductive organs without remembering that there's estrogen receptors throughout the body. And estrogen plays a role everywhere. And so women are different actually, cellular tissue level. And I think that it's important to acknowledge this because when we look at the prevalence of certain conditions, especially constipation, migraines, anxiety, insomnia, women are always sometimes double or three times as more likely to have these conditions than men. And the reason isn't because we're women, it's because we're not being treated as women.
Wow.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, well, we're excited that you're doing this kind of work because yeah, I think it's needed.
It's definitely needed. You know, when we look at like I grew up in the Midwest, you know, can we swear? We can't swear. You know, to say the S-H-I-T word.
Whatever.
I know it's funny. You can swear, but like my mom might listen. No. But, you know, we can't even, women, we're told that bathroom humor is crude and men are told that it's funny. And there's just a different approach. There's even studies that look at, for example, female executives. Female executives are more likely to not go to the bathroom on the floor that their office is on. Just this idea of this privacy and like what makes me feminine. And like, if I talk about this, then is it still feminine or am I still, or is it weak that I have this? Whatever play is playing into it, it's not just the hormonal and anatomical issues or differences. It's also the fact that there's a societal sort of piece here that tells us how we have to act when we talk about these things. And so if we open this up and we talk about it, because honestly, everybody poops. We're not pooping, that's the problem. And we have to talk about it, and we have to normalize it. Another thing that needs to be talked about is when we look at the Rome criteria for diagnosing constipation, it's 3 or less bowel movements per week. I don't know about you, I want a bowel movement every single day, every single darn day.
Yes. Yeah.
And that really should be the standards in terms of functional medicine standards. We're looking at a bowel movement every single day. And there's some doctors, I believe Jolene Brighton, I don't want to misquote her, but I think she even says multiple times a day if we're looking at somebody who has estrogen dominance, because we want to make sure that we're clearing that estrogen. But for a normal, healthy person, at least once a day, it's important to be having a bowel movement. So if we take the criteria and look at prevalence and we say that it's 20 to 30%, but then we toss out the Rome criteria and we actually say, but how many people are not having a bowel movement every single day? Does that number increase?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, that makes sense. So many people do struggle with this. It's so true. Like the thing at work, I mean, I knew people that couldn't poop at work. Like they just couldn't do it. Like it was uncomfortable. So let's make it more comfortable.
Like, you know, I think like that's what our, you know, with Digest Live and Organza, the company that I work with, we've taken the conversation and made it fun. We have, I always say our the fun thing about us is our taglines. We have a whole bunch of fun taglines. And one of them is have a crappy day and, you know, get shit done. Like, let's everybody's doing this. Everybody should be doing this. And so let's talk about it. So I think a few things that I first want to hit on, I want to invite, who are we going to start like chatting with, Taya, Christine, about digestion and bowel movements and all that fun stuff?
Taya, we would love for you to share with us your personal experiences and struggles in this topic of constipation, and then, you know, see what Jessica has to say.
At first, I was like, you know what? Have I really had like struggles with constipation and stuff? Because we were talking about it leading up to the podcast. And at first, I was just like, no, actually, like really not really. Maybe just a little bit during my pregnancy. But now that you're talking about it in this way, and now that I started really thinking about it, right, I was like, actually, you know, I've had more struggles with it than I ever realized. It's one of those things that you think you're normal until you talk to somebody else and then you realize you're not normal.
Right.
You don't realize like, oh, I'm supposed to be going to the bathroom every day. Like for me, normally going to the bathroom looked like going to the bathroom every 2 days, every 3 days. And that was normal for me. And I was always like, yeah. And then talking to my friends, eventually I realized, oh, people go to the bathroom every single day. And so I always thought that was like, I never really thought anything of it until I got older, started learning more about this. And now I realize that that definitely, it shows you what's going on with your entire body. Yeah, this is definitely something that I'm starting to learn a little bit more about, because I've definitely had digestive issues. I never made the comparison between my digestive issues and then having constipation, or even calling it constipation, because I don't really have too much trouble going to the bathroom. It's not like I'm in agony or anything. Like when you think of constipation, you think of someone like in a lot of pain going to the bathroom. But that was never really like my experience until I was pregnant with my daughter and stuff, and I had a lot of issues with my pregnancy. Besides that, like I never really had issues like that, but I've definitely had significant realizations and that I do have struggles in this area. And my stomach, I have had a lot of issues with feeling pain in my stomach and not being able to digest certain foods over others. And so that's definitely why I've really latched on to learning more about functional medicine and how to heal yourself naturally, because there's definitely things that I need to dive deeper in for myself and realize what is the cause of these side effects that I'm getting, whether it be not going to the bathroom for 3 days or the pain in my side that's, you know, causing me a little bit of worries and stuff. So that's been my experience with it so far, but I haven't had like really, really intense issues, but I feel like that's a lot of people. Most people aren't like in the hospital because they're in so much pain. They're just realizing, oh, this isn't really the way that my body is at its optimal health. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I think you hit on a very important thing, that it's not like to the point where it's acute and so chronic that you're in the doctor demanding change, demanding a solution. It's to the point where you're like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't feel amazing. Sometimes I'm a little bit more bloated. I don't understand why I've got slow digestion or cramping, but it's not so bad that it distracts you from your day-to-day activity. And the truth is, you're young. We're all young. And I think we're young much, much longer than society will even call us young. Meaning like I tell my 6-year-old clients, you're young. But one of the things is that we should feel good in our bodies and we should feel comfortable and we shouldn't feel bloated. And so we want to kind of figure out, sometimes when it comes to constipation, there is this issue of slower digestion and things are moving through the digestive tract more slowly. Add on top of that, maybe a little bit of dysbiosis. Maybe the balance of healthy bacteria in the gut are not quite the right populations. And then that can also contribute to slow transit time in the gut, which then can further aggravate this constipation. So all of these things play together. Add in the hormonal issues, and then add in like just the stress of being a human in 2023 with like people you have to take care of, kids and family members and life and work. Stress also plays a role.
If it's not a really prevalent like agony, like sort of horrible situation, you're probably not going to go and get it checked out immediately when you have kids and you have all these things going on. It ends up being one of those things that you notice, but you just kind of put on the back burner. That I know that that's me. So that's the issue with those sort of little things. When you get these little hints that something's not up, you know, something's up and not right, it's hard when it's not like something that, oh, I have to go to the doctor for this right now. Mm-hmm. You usually get to that point.
So I think that that's where it's like, we don't want to have it for so long that we're like, this is just how it is. We don't want to forget how we used to feel. And so I always say to clients, you know, when was the onset when we're dealing with digestive issues and constipation? When was the onset? And sometimes there's a clear marker. Sometimes somebody will say it was pregnancy or it was a period of stress. I had one client who had a very stressful period and within like a month was basically diagnosed with IBS. And so there are times sometimes when we can pinpoint what was the trigger that set this off. But sometimes people will say, I've had this since adolescence. Or I've had clients who say, I remember when I was a little kid dealing with this already. I remember talking about it with my mother or having to take certain medications when I was very small. It's actually the number one reason for emergency room visits for children is constipation. And often idiopathic constipation, right? Constipation where there's no identifiable cause and it's not necessarily responsive to fiber or lifestyle changes. So we want to look at how does this sort of vague constipation, it's not really horrible, how can we improve that? And I want to say that number one, you know, everything that we're talking about here, I'm calling this conversations and constipation. It's not medical advice. Not a protocol.
Yeah.
Right. Conversations and constipation. Like, what can we do? Yeah. So most of the times when people go to the doctor, they're going to hit off the basic things. If the doctor doesn't send them for further assessments, right? If there's rectal bleeding, if there's any sort of really acute chronic pain, then there's going to be generally a referral for further assessments. But most often the doctor's going to say, increase your fiber. And they'll suggest things like Metamucil and Benefiber. They'll say, increase your hydration. And try to move a little bit more. And those are the sort of three things that most commonly get prescribed from a doctor for lifestyle interventions or environmental interventions. But often with women, that doesn't work. In fact, introducing more fiber into a slow system that hasn't had adequate fiber or just doesn't handle fiber well is actually going to make the problem feel much, much, much worse.
I have to admit that that was me. Like, I went to the doctor and they were like, you need to add more fiber. I think they even suggested something like a fiber one cereal. And I just got more bloated, more constipated, and was like miserable. So
when you introduce fiber into a system that's slow, there's decreased motility. It's not moving through at the right rate. All you're doing is creating a really great environment to just continue to bulk up because that fiber absorbs the water, but it's not necessarily moving through fast. So why isn't it moving through? There's so many things that play a factor in the transit time. And so we can add all those things, but if we're not addressing also, like, for example, different times of the month when you have your period, you're going to have different amounts of estrogen, and that actually affects the amount of enzymes that are in your small intestine, and that is going to affect not just nutrient absorption, but that's going to affect how things move through your body. So some women will have all of a sudden during, right before their period, they'll notice that they get constipated when their hormonal levels are low, when that estrogen progesterone is low. And so we want to make sure that we're thinking about, number one, is there a time that we can pinpoint? Is this happening at the same time every month? Then it's related to the period and hormones. Or is it kind of chronic? Are there other signs that maybe estrogen is playing a role in this? And estrogen can play multiple roles. So it can play a role in that when we have sort of what we call estrogen dominance, estrogen to progesterone ratio, what we see is that the body isn't clearing estrogen. Then we actually really need to be having a bowel movement every single day so that that estrogen isn't going back into circulation. We want to be getting rid of it through a bowel movement. And we want to make sure that we're supporting, number one, the first thing I would say is, are we supporting the liver to make sure that it can metabolize estrogen? So dietary support, we're going to be eating a diet always high in fruits and vegetables, not just for their fiber content, but also for the compounds they contain that help to metabolize estrogen. We're also going to want to be getting adequate protein, because we use protein, we use amino acids in the second phase of the way that our liver breaks down. There's a three-phase process that the liver is doing to conjugate, to break down and metabolize this estrogen. We also want to be getting an adequate amount of protein because we need those amino acids. And so we really want to make sure also that we're eating a variety and hitting sort of all the nutrient dense foods that we can get, not just sticking to the same diet every single day. That's the most basic recommendation. At the same time, we can investigate food sensitivities. And sometimes people will become constipated with very specific foods. Generally, if you don't have a weight issue, and so you're kind of eating exactly what you need, you can't even really afford to eat white flour and the more processed foods because it outcompetes your more nutrient dense or higher fiber choices. So it's also making sure that whatever you're eating is the most nutrient dense option that you can have. So that's sort of the first dietary approach. But then we're going to think about what else can play into it. And there's a few other things when it comes to the anatomy. There's not just the fact that our colon is a little bit longer. There's also the fact the pelvic floor itself plays a role in bowel movements. So if there's a lot of stress, high cortisol generally could lead to actually diarrhea. That's where we see IBS with constipation or the etiology of like diarrhea dominant IBS. But constant stress also means that we could be holding a lot in our body physically, like just be tensed up. Well, those pelvic muscles need to be coordinated and they need to relax and they need to contract at the right time to have a bowel movement. And so there's actually even biofeedback for people who are dealing with chronic constipation to just really help to retrain the coordination of those muscles.
I have to ask you, because you're talking about the stress piece. And when I travel, I've had a lot of issues with constipation. And I know I'm not alone. Like, I know there's a lot of people that when they travel and they're not near their home, they just can't, you know, seem to go to the bathroom easily. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that
one. First of all, it is a little bit of that stress. When we're traveling, even if it's like for a vacation, there's stress, right? We're getting on a plane or we're getting in a car. We have to buy gas. We have to have everything packed. So there's a little bit of stress there. It can definitely be related to just sort of like kind of handling a lot, having to deal with a lot, that stress, just approaching the trip. Circadian rhythm dysregulation when we're flying between time zones, especially if it's international and you're like turning night into day, your circadian rhythm is going to play a role in your bowel movements because circadian rhythm is kind of what helps to dictate our hormones, and our hormones are what are driving all of these processes. So it's definitely, when you're traveling, you know, if you go from the East Coast to the West Coast, it might not be as much. But if you fly overseas, you might really feel it for a few days. I actually, you know, full disclosure, I don't deal with constipation, but when I fly, I also feel like all of a sudden my body's like upside down. And it's also the different food. It can be even different water content or where you're drinking. I went in Vienna and I was having the water in the Alps is amazing. But here I drink water that comes through a purified reverse osmosis system. Even small things like that could potentially just kind of place a little bit of stress on your system, and stress being just sort of an unknown factor like that it has to deal with. So I think when it comes to travel, mostly a lot of it is that circadian rhythm. It's the disruption of our schedule. Our balls, our enteric nervous system, right? We have our central nervous system, which is our brain. We have our enteric nervous system, which is our gut. They're connected through the vagal nerve. And that enteric nervous system is used to a schedule. It loves routine. And that's why we go out, all of a sudden, everything's a little bit different. Not the same toilet. It's not the, you know, it's a bathroom somewhere in an airport. And we think about things consciously, like, oh, I have no problem with that. I can go to the bathroom anywhere. But we also have a subconscious story that our body is responding to physiologically. And so that can sometimes lead to a little bit of constipation.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica. I'm just being mindful of our time today. And I wanted to ask you, what are two things that a mom suffering from constipation can do today to feel better? And I wanted to ask Taya, while you're answering that question, maybe like what was a takeaway that she got for herself from this episode and listening in? So Jessica, what are two things that a mom suffering from constipation can do to feel better
today? So one thing I'll say, and I've had clients tell me this, is that they will delay bowel movements because they have to stay on their kid's schedule, carpool. And I will say this, never delay a bowel movement. Wherever you are, when you have to go, go. There's communication that happens in the body internally between the internal and external nerves, sphincter nerves. There's a communication that happens. And when our body is saying, go to the bathroom, but we're saying brain-wise, no, there's no time now, we can actually train our body to become constipated. So we want to make sure, like, do not, you know, as moms, we're taught self-care, self-care, self-care. Like, this is the first level of self-care. You know, it's okay to be a little bit late. It's okay. We have to make sure that we don't actually set aside our schedule that we need, our biological schedule, for our kids' schedule. So that's one thing I would say. Another thing that I would say is that there, you know, with my company, we work with a specific herbal remedy that has been shown. We have a third-party efficacy study. We have a team of doctors and researchers, plant researchers from Colombia. So we have this whole great team that are using plant medicine, not over-the-counter laxatives that just create a really harsh bowel movement, not prescription medications that are really kind of a last line resort for when dealing with constipation, but herbal remedies that have been used historically and have good research in terms of safety and efficacy. And so that is one thing that I say, this isn't meant for life. Right? Supplements, very rarely. There are some supplements we'll be taking for life. You know, maybe my vitamin D because of all the times I try to stay out of the sun. But a lot of the supplements we're taking is what we're using them as like a help to the lifestyle interventions that we're doing. But it's going to be something that we're going to use for a period. And then hopefully the bowel will be retrained. I know, for example, with our CEO, and this is always like a lot of, you know, it's bowel movements, but we're talking about my boss, but the woman who developed our product with our team of researchers, like this was the solution that she made for herself. She doesn't take it anymore today because after taking it for a period of time, she's completely regular. And I'm saying this because I know this is something that we've talked about, we've shared in other forums. And so I think that it's something to remember that we can take a supplement to sort of get us started, to help retrain the bowel, to help ease off of regular laxatives that are more harsh and that might be promoting bowel, like a lazy bowel where the muscle isn't being used enough. So it kind of just gets weak because the bowel needs to be used regularly to maintain its strength. But we can use these supplements and then it's something that after a while we can phase out of because we're also doing the great diet and we've managed to like retrain the bowel and we're supporting the liver with estrogen metabolism and we're making sure to get enough hydration, but it's a synergistic effect of multiple choices. There is no one thing. And that's the problem with conventional medicine. We expect, like, here's your over-the-counter laxative. Okay, here's your over-the-counter laxative chocolate. There you go. And like there, now you're not constipated anymore. But actually, it's going to be like the four or five things that you're doing in tandem regularly that are going to support you long-term.
Wow.
And sometimes those ways that the laxatives, the conventional medicine sometimes doesn't even work, because this woman that I work with tried some laxatives and it made her so sick. She was in so much pain. She didn't really know what was really wrong. She just figured she was like backed up and stuff, but she took one too many of those laxatives and she was just in so much pain. She ended up not going to the bathroom for 2 days, and that's not normal for her. So it was very interesting for me to hear that. And then knowing I was coming on this, because I was interested to see with like, that's what people do. They take a laxative if they have bathroom issues, and that's been always like the quick easy fix. Yeah. But that even in itself might not actually be a fix. It could make the situation way worse, just like fiber. So I also had a question with the product that your company makes. If you don't have issues with the bathroom, but you think that you may have issues or you have stomach pain, so you might think of trying it, is there any like bad side effects to taking it if you didn't have constipation issues? Or is it okay, one of those things that you would have to see your doctor before you tried it? Or how does that work?
That's a good question. So I want to say, first of all, what we do, how we differ from over-the-counter laxative, is that we're really addressing the root cause. So we've got some herbs in there that are going to support the liver for estrogen metabolism and for hormone metabolism. We've got some herbs that sort of stimulate the gut, but not in the harsh way that an over-the-counter laxative will. And there's a combination of 10 different herbs, and it's really the synergistic effect. We work with this plant researcher. She's amazing. She's like who I want to be when I grow up. And she's really one of the world's top experts in plant medicine. And so it's really how we use the herbs together. It is not one compound. I'll tell you, for example, one of the compounds that is commonly used in herbal type of laxatives is something called senna. Senna is a very harsh plant when only used just as senna. Also, the amount that's used in the over-counter laxatives are very high. And sometimes they'll even take just the active compound of senna called sennacide, and they'll just use that. We don't want that. Plants were made whole because there's synergistic things happening within the plant to help buffer the effects. We don't want to take one compound of the plant and isolate it if we can get benefits from the whole plant. So in our product, there's a little tiny bit of senna, but there's 9 other herbs that are used to help nourish the gut as well. When it comes to somebody taking it who doesn't need it, so there is a little bit of prebiotic fiber in there. I wouldn't call it a prebiotic, like on the level that I would normally if somebody needs a prebiotic, but there are some prebiotic fibers in there, in the fennel. And in general, it can be used also for nausea, for bloating and gassiness, because it does help to move along, move things through the gut.
Yes, I had tried it. I tried
the Digest Live. Yeah.
I tried it and it really did like make my stomach feel better. At the time, I wouldn't say I was going through so much constipation, because I had just gone through a few episodes like with my daughter, like really having problems. But then I had my daughter, and then I tried it, and because I still was having bloating issues, but not necessarily bathroom issues. And it did help. So that's why I was, when we had talked about it and I was trying it, I wanted to make sure that like I wasn't like messing myself up with doing something when I wasn't 100% sure. But it ended up working out for me, because it did make me feel better. And so, but if someone's not really sure what the issue is, or whether it is a constipation issue, it's all natural. So it's
100% okay natural. It's third party tested. I wouldn't stand behind it if I wasn't 100% like knowing exactly what's going on in the product, and also really familiar and comfortable with the research. And it's definitely something that you can take. I will take it even if I'm not constipated, but I'm traveling, because I just know, like, now my pattern is when I travel internationally, my stomach's not going to act the same. Yeah, right. So I'll take it before I get on the plane, because then I know by the time I get off the plane, and this I recommend trying before. You never want to start a supplement on a plane. You want to know what's going to happen. But for me, I know what's going to happen. I know how long everything's going to take. Oh, airplane bathroom. How embarrassing. It's like the worst. That's like a nightmare scenario.
That'd be horrible.
But I would take it before I go on the plane. And then I know by the time that I get off the plane and I check into my hotel, like I'll be ready to go. I'll be comfortable, and I'll feel like myself on my trip, instead of spending like 2 to 3 days like getting back to myself.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to trying it for the travelers thing, because that has been an ongoing thing for me. And I just want to thank you both for coming on today. It has been such a great conversation. I'm glad we were able to be more brave, I guess, and talk about this issue, because I think it affects a lot of women, and they were just not talking about it. So So thank you for your honesty, Taya, for sharing about it. And Jessica, we so appreciate all this great knowledge that you've given us and explaining how it's different sometimes for women and men with constipation. And we wanted to say that if you'd like to connect with Jessica, you can connect with her on Instagram. She has the handle Nomi Knows Nutrition. You can check out that. And then also you can check out Digest Live by Organza, that handle on Instagram. Both those places you can find her. And then Jessica, did you have anything else you wanted to add about people connecting with you or special
offers?
Yeah,
people can definitely connect with us. They can also check out our company's website, digestlive.live. There's a contact page there. They can check out, we have free international shipping. And for anybody listening, we have a code, 15% off. The code is FMMOM15. So you can go and use that at checkout. And thank you so much for having me, for letting me talk about this. I just want every woman, like, what you guys are doing is great. Every woman, every mom should feel great in her body. And 1% better every day or every week is a significant improvement after a year or two. And so whoever's out there and listening and wants to just take charge of their health, don't get overwhelmed. Pick one tiny thing that you can do and keep showing up. And when it gets tough, take a break one day, but show up the next day. Don't wait 2 weeks. Show up. Wait, show up the next hour, but just keep showing up.
Wonderful.
Love that. Yes.
That was great.
We love that. That's your speaking Thank our you. Language.
Yes. I love it. Small steps. All right. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from our mom community. Any wellness topics that are high on your list, please DM us at Functional Medicine Coaching Moms. We can also be reached via email at info@functionalmedicinecoachingmoms.com. You can find Functional Medicine Coaching Moms podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.